So the next financial bubble may not be in real estate or student loan debt. The combination of spiraling medical costs and very cheap money has created the alarming trend that out-of-pocket medical spending is projected to accelerate to a 5% growth rate by 2023, and that's double the growth of the GDP. Is this sustainable? Christina LaMontagne is General Manager for Health at NerdWallet. Welcome.
Thank you.
This isn't sustainable. I suspect that's your answer.
Yeah. It turns out that medical debt is the number one financial concern for many, many American families, and it seems to be getting worse. The majority of personal bankruptcies are related to medical debt, 57% of personal bankruptcies.
Now, how much of this, as you look at the broad statistics, is bad planning versus just bad luck?
I think, unfortunately, quite a lot of it is bad luck. If we look at credit card debt, for example, there is some control that a consumer has that they make purchases. When it comes to your health, however, you can't always plan for a diagnosis or for an accident. And unfortunately, that's what seems to really catch up consumers.
Are people underinsured? And so the, you know, the slack is something they have to, in a surprising way, you know, make up on their own with their own cash?
People are not necessarily underinsured, but as insurance evolves in this country, high deductible health plans are becoming more and more common. So while people do have insurance now, more and more, what we find is that the consumer out-of-pocket requirements are much higher. So many plans have out-of-pocket maximums that could be $5,000, $6,000 a year. That's a lot of money for the average family making about $52,000 a year.
And I said, you know, cheap money has helped to create this bubble. But if people are using their credit cards, this isn't cheap money at all. It's 18% interest or 22% interest in many cases.
That's right. People should not use their credit cards to pay their medical debt. There are often financial or charity assistance programs at hospitals. So that is something we would not recommend doing.
Will banks help you with a medical expense or refinance? I mean, I suppose you'd have to have a house to refinance. But barring that, will banks help you at an acceptable interest rate?
Banks are just really not a good option when it comes to medical debt. And I'll explain why. For starters, a lot of medical bills, in fact, have errors on them. This is something that we found in our research to be quite pervasive. Americans should be skeptical of the bills they pay and make sure that they are not errors before they pay them. But beyond that, there really are additional programs available to help consumers that should not put them in a loan or high APR situation.
Consumers are naive regarding the details of their medical bills. They're also going into their treatment blind in many cases.
That's correct. There is very low amount of price transparency in healthcare, which is very problematic as we ask patients to act as consumers.
Would they behave differently if they knew the price going in? Is there any detail on that?
In fact, we have recently done a Harris poll with over 2,000 American adults. 73% of our respondents said that they would make better health decisions if they knew the prices up front.
Now, how is better health decisions different from just foregoing a treatment that they might have to have reducing their health and maybe increasing their cost down the line?
It's a great question, but consumers, I believe, do pursue health care when they need it, but they would like to know their options. So just as someone seeks another medical professional for a second opinion, it makes sense for someone to seek price information from another provider before making a final decision.
Does this have as its model, at least if it is a bubble, the student loan situation where the availability of cash to pay for student loans in the case of student debt really funded an inflation in tuition rates and professor salaries in the educational realm? Is there anything about the availability of cash and the consumers drawing down their savings that's driving medical inflation?
I don't know that to be the case. What I do know to be the case is that the medical system has a lot of waste in it. So until we are able to wrap our arms around all of this wastefulness, medical errors, over-treatment, we will continue to feel these bubble-like symptoms.
Who audits this, and how possible is it that your problems with a medical bill and a medical treatment are going to affect your credit score forever and ever?
it's very possible that mm-hmm. an unpaid medical bill will affect your credit for up to 7 years.
Anything you can do about that? Any changes in that?
Yeah. So there has been a very recent change led by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and implemented by FICO, the organization.
The credit score people. Yeah.
Correct. That create your credit scores. The observation that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau made was that those with medical debt do not behave in the same way as those with other types of debt. They actually have less risky behaviors. And as a result, the recommendation was that FICO scores should be increased, in fact, for those with medical debt. So that is big news and welcome news for people with medical debt. However, you know, those who already have medical debt on their FICO scores will not see that erased right away.
But the FICO change is they're not looking at credit card abuse in the same way that they're looking at, you know, payment for a kidney transplant or something like that.
That's right. Back to your original question of, you know, how much of this is perhaps accidental versus something someone has controlled. I think that's essentially the distinction FICO is starting to make for consumers.
Is there a predatory element here? Is there individuals and institutions taking advantage of this situation? And what's the fix there?
We do believe that the overall lack of transparency in the system, the lack of price information, the fact that medical bills are very difficult to read, the fact that payment mechanisms are not always readily available to consumers does make it very predatory. Again, we're putting consumers in a situation where we're asking them to behave as savvy consumers, but we're not allowing them the resources to do so. One issue that I feel very strongly about is notifying patients of out-of-network charges. There can be substantial out-of-pocket ramifications for inpatient care versus outpatient care.
And you can go to your inpatient, in-network office, but if they use some sort of procedure that comes from someone who's out-of-network, boom, you get full price.
That's right. And why are we not telling patients that up front? That's like saying your care could be X or it could be, you know, 3 or 4X if the provider is out of network. And who would accept that offer just walking into a store? No one. So why aren't we telling patients up front that the provider is in network versus out of network and thereby giving them a sense of what they might be paying?
Based on some of the stats, prices, and lack of transparency that you've talked about, is the savviest consumer the one who goes to Costa Rica or Belgium to get their procedure done?
You know, I don't know that that's the savviest of consumers. Although cost is a very important consideration, ultimately health and regaining one's wellness is the number one concern for patients. So I do believe that people should always make decisions based on what is the best medical outcome. But certainly the cost is something that needs to be considered increasingly.
Christina LaMontagne is general manager of NerdWallet Health. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.